four, three, two.
Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. I'm your host, Roger Z. I feel pretty cool on my stool tonight with my special guest, Nick Oliva, keyboard extraordinaire. How you doing, Nick?
Good. How are you, Roger?
Good. We had a little adventure getting here today.
Yeah.
But I think part of a musician's job is really moving furniture.
No doubt about it. Like I say, it could have been worse. It could have been a B3.
That's right. Have you ever played a B3?
For years. Lugged them up steps, over bars, across streets.
Wow.
Not only the B3, but the B3, no, the Leslie had to come with the B3. And the Leslie was just, and of course, when it was time to move, all the horn players would disappear. So you pretty much were moving it by yourself. And also, I was lugging a suitcase, Fender Rhodes at that time. That was almost as bad as a B3. So things keep getting smaller.
Although, that's not, well, hopefully you don't, so.
I don't know.
Anyway, so you familiar with Pete Levin?
I met him years ago, yeah. Great organ player, and his brother Tony Levin, great bass player.
Yeah, I just reviewed his new CD.
Oh, I wanted to hear that CD. There's another friend of mine on that, Kenny Lovelett, did a little bit on that CD, too. Probably they did it up in the studio up there in Phoenicia. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, it's a great CD. I'll see what we can do to get you a copy.
I'd love to hear that one, yeah.
So, you've been playing keyboards for a long time. Do you do mostly solo, or do you play with a band, or how did you start?
Well, I was born here in White Plains.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was born here, and I came up around here. Played piano in early rock and roll bands throughout White Plains, throughout the whole area, all around.
There used to be a lot of rock clubs here, huh?
At one time, you could work as much as you wanted to, pretty much. And there was a lot of rock clubs. So I did that. Then I got drafted. I ended up playing cymbals in the jungles of South Carolina somewhere for a couple of years. I come back out of there.
That's better than Vietnam, right?
Well, and then I hooked up. I was in a big band for a while called Asylum in the city band in New York. Did a couple tours with Sly and the Family Stone.
Really?
Played Madison Square Garden. I did the last concert with him in Constitution Hall, where he was supposed to go on at 8 o'clock, like we opened for him. He didn't show up till 1 o'clock. Did 10 minutes, left, and the place just erupted in this huge riot. And all I can remember, it seems like I was carrying that B3 on my shoulder down steps to get out of there, you know. Anyhow, that's my Sly story. You know?
Well, so did you play with Sly, or you opened for Sly?
We opened for him.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. And that's Asylum.
Asylum, yeah.
Cool.
I played accordion for a while. Played accordion on the street.
In White Plains?
No, I don't think I did it in White Plains. No.
Manhattan?
Did it in Manhattan.
Cool.
I worked with a woman named Genya Ravan for a while.
I know. Ten Wheel Drive.
Yeah. Did an album with her.
Which one?
The group was called Baby, and I'll be dipped if I can remember the name of the album. I think it was just called Genya Ravan. She had a couple of songs. One was called Flying, another up song called I Hate Myself. It was a great song, actually, but I can't exactly remember. I think it was just Genya.
About what year was that?
Early 70s sometime.
Okay.
Then lately, I don't know. So it got like from like a 9 or 10 piece band and slowly sunk down to where I'm doing it by myself. I was working a duo around here for a while with a friend of mine, Lois Colombo, very fine singer. So now I've been working. I play what I call spaghetti piano now. I just behind at dinners. You don't want to play too loud.
See, your oral wallpaper.
Yes. I like that.
And if you're too loud, they can't digest the spaghetti.
That's it. So on my good days, I'm happy I'm just still working, you know, and still able to do it. And that's about it.
Well, you just...
of my life.
So since the 70s, you've been doing duo and solo work?
And different bands, a couple of rock bands. I was in a rock band called Fat City for a while. We did a lot of colleges, a lot of biker places, and all that kind of thing. Good band. It did like Southern Rock, and that's when I was playing organ with them.
I love Southern Rock.
Yeah, it was fun. You know, it was more of a guitar player's type of thing, but I enjoyed it. You know, it was a different thing for me. I did a couple of
So what happened to your Hammond B3?
At the Hammond, I eventually sold that. I, you know, there's nothing like the real thing. I don't care what you say. I don't care what the samples are. You get out of Hammond or a real piano, but there's no way I could think of moving one of them anymore. I couldn't do it.
Let's
have a tough time getting across the street with this today.
This is a Korg.
Yeah, it is an old one. I got a new one on order. I'm trying to get finally, but this is a nice instrument.
Is it touch sensitive?
Pretty much. You know, not like a piano. You get a little bit. I use a volume pedal.
Because I bought my daughter, I think what they call an electric piano.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a Yamaha, and it's you don't get any synthesized sounds, but it's weighted keys. That's what I was looking
for. Yamaha makes a beautiful piano. It's my favorite one. The Kurzweil was my favorite piano, but the Yamaha came out with this one. I don't know which one he got, but I think the sound is tremendous. The only thing you don't get with electric pianos, they say you do sometimes, is the overtones. You know, when you're playing a real piano and it comes out and you're getting all that. But the Yamaha, beautiful piano.
Do you have a real acoustic piano in your apartment or house?
No, I haven't. You know, I tell people I haven't played a piano and I can't remember. And they say, well, you play this. It's not the same. It's not the same touch. It's just not. I've been playing on these things for years, you know, pretending they're pianos. But, hey.
So you know what? When we get picked up by the network, I'm going to have you come back. And you're going to have to practice on a real piano or else your hands are going to ache afterwards.
You know, when I do some jobs on piano, that is exactly what happens. It's like I'm lifting weights and I'm aching by the end of that job. You do have to be in shape. It's like anything, even when I go back to the accordion and play this thing, you know, it's like it's killing you. But I like the physicality, which you don't get with these, you know, you try like playing hard on these things, like when the Fender first came out and piano players, they were busting them up left and right. Because you can't play them, you know, the power comes from the switch. It doesn't come from the body or the arms, or it's a whole different thing.
I remember playing in a rock band in the 70s, and I don't know what kind of keyboard my guy had. But, you know, he'd get excited, and he'd pound it, and the key would break.
Yeah.
You know, so those were the days.
Yeah.
You know, what's sad is sometimes in White Plains, the movie theater, I forgot what it's called, it's part of City Center. And some days I'll walk over to the movies, and I'll hear some beautiful piano. I'll see this beautiful grand piano, and there's no one playing it.
Oh, right. Yeah, they got robots playing them now or whatever, right?
The keys go down. You see the keys go down, but it must be the invisible man. But what's nice is some of the time they actually have a human playing it. So it's nice that they give a human a little bit of work.
Well, again, to me, there's nothing like the real thing. But, you know, when I was a kid, we all lived in this apartment house. My grandfather built, my father and his two brothers, we all lived on a floor. And my grandmother lived in the basement. And down in her basement, she had a player piano, and I'll never forget it. You know, I would get down there, and the thing would just fascinate me. I only came up maybe that high at the time, so I'd be hanging on and pumping this thing with one foot, you know, watching the. So I don't know whether that was my first influence for loving the piano, but it was a big one, and I imagine where this thing you're talking about kind of evolved from the old player piano, maybe.
How ironic that a machine gave you love for the piano.
I used to wonder how could, you know, you'd be pumping away and you'd see all these and you'd wonder, man, how can two hands, like, push all these notes down? You know, they'd be going, it was a great thing. Well, I don't know if it gave me the love for the piano, but it gave me something.
You feeling relaxed?
A little bit. Well, you know, trying to keep it going here.
Okay, good. You ready to play us a song or two?
Yeah, I'll give it a try.
So what are you going to play for us? Some originals, I guess.
All right. Yeah, when I was a kid again, we used to go fishing down the Bronx River, down by the tracks in Valhalla, and, you know, go fishing, try and get some crawfish and whatever. Could actually drink the water then, too, and survive. And at one point I went back to check out the old spot on a nostalgia trip, you know, and it was full of refrigerators and tires and whatnot, and it inspired me to write this tune, which I call the Bronx River Blues.
Okay. Go to it.
Yeah? Okay.
I used to live right on the Hackensack border, and the Hackensack River there, just like you said, refrigerators.
Yeah, you know, what are you going to do?
Shopping carts, dead bodies, I mean,
yeah,
who knows?
That's right. You know, I don't know what happened, but it did.
Well, the weird thing about the Hackensack River is they have these causeways that go over it that are around 4 feet over the water. So there's no way that a boat could use it, because the boat couldn't get underneath the causeways and the bridges.
No, no, it's...
I don't understand.
Me neither.
Well, if they wanted our opinion, they'd give it to us, right?
Yes.
So what else you got up your sleeve? That was great.
Thank you. Another tune?
Another tune. That one sounded so good, I need to hear another.
All right, all right. I'll do another quick one. This one is...
We got some time. If you want to do 5 minutes, do a 5 minute version.
All right. Well, this one is kind of like... sort of expresses, I guess, the way I feel lately. It's called Bombs Away.
Bombs Away. Bombs away. heard that expression in years. Reminds me of growing up.
Bombs away?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where these things come from, but
as long as they come, that's
yeah,
that's
right.
What
I don't like to shut it off. You know. So
Nick, now you told me before you're going to be working 5 nights a week.
Hope, but you know, you never know. I might be out of work tomorrow.
Massaging the keyboards, tickling people's dining palate.
Yeah.
So I know I saw you a couple of weeks ago at Gordo's.
Yeah, Gordo's I've been working in.
And what town was that in?
Hawthorne.
Okay, Hawthorne. Because the sign said something else, but everything's weird out there.
Yeah.
The sign says Pleasantville or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's Hawthorne. Okay, yeah. That was nice. I had a good meal. Enjoyed your playing. You actually had a guest guy I know come and sing with you. I think I know him, Dennis Carpenter.
Dennis Carpenter, yeah, good drummer. Used to play with Billy Vera a long time ago. They worked around here. Yeah, it's a nice job.
You play every Saturday
every
there?
Every Saturday, yeah.
Now, where do you play every Friday? Or tell me your other steady gigs.
Wednesdays I play in a place called the Mediterraneo.
What town?
Italian place. That's Pleasantville. Thursdays and Sunday I do a Sunday brunch at a place called the Dockside Pub up in the Mayapack. It's right on the lake. That's nice. Nice in the summer. You can come up there and you want to have a little brunch, sit on the water. People come in with their boats. That's a nice job. People are very nice there.
So the bullet boats don't drown you out?
It's all right. And I'm starting, again, I don't know the name of this place here. I'm starting up in Carmel in another week or so, but I'll be starting up there too. So I got, you know, lucky. At least, again, I try and keep working and do little parties here and there, whatever comes along. You know, I don't turn down any work.
So people can contact you basically by sending an email to theworkingmusician.com, and I'll pass it along to you.
All right, thanks.
Since you're internet challenged at this point.
Yeah, I'm computer stupid. I don't have a computer. I keep threatening to get one. I don't know when I'm going to get one. I really need one. You know, every time I'm going to go again, I need to put brakes in my car. I got to do this. I got to, you know how that goes.
People can contact you through the show. Just go to the www.theworkingmusician.com and send an email to us, and we'll put you through.
Great, thank you.
We get to the point of the show where lately I was going to upgrade the question. My original question is, if we sent you to a desert island and you could only take one or two CDs, what would you bring? And then, since no one listens to CDs anymore, I've kind of changed it to what's on your iPod. But we're going to pull it back for you.
Nobody listens to CDs no more now either.
No, they don't sell because people buy music digitally, and they only buy like hits. It's like the 50s or the early 60s. You know, I used to have a stack of 45s, and that was our record. You put four or five together,
right.
You made.
Yeah, I remember the 45s, of course.
And we've gone back to that, basically. But let's stop pussyfooting around. Name your favorite albums.
Well, you know, in the early days, like I had different influences of piano players. You know, the rock and roll piano players. The first guy, actually, I think I ever heard, my father used to play Errol Garner.
Okay.
And I loved Errol Garner. I used to love to watch him play. You know, he had this kind of thing where
Strive.
Yeah, but he'd sit on a phone book. You know, and he was like some kind of piano guru. He'd smile. You know, he looked like he was as fascinated about his playing as I was, or somebody like, where will this be? Anyhow, like a guy like that. There's an album I could listen to. Any of his albums I could listen to.
Is that rock and roll?
That wasn't rock and roll.
Oh, okay,
no, but when Jerry Lee Lewis landed, you know, I mean, this was like, what is this? You know, so he took me by storm. A piano player like that, guy that worked with Chuck Berry, Johnny Johnson.
Right, I got
his piano playing was great. Little Richard, of course. That kind of piano playing, and New Orleans, Dr. John. I love the way he plays. That kind of piano playing. Then I remember hearing like Oscar Peterson, jazz piano player. The first time I heard him, I couldn't believe what this guy was doing.
Can you copy him?
No. And then Bill Evans, like so many people, I just worshiped this guy. Became a hero of mine, you know, and he was more chordal. I actually gave him a ride home one night, and I should have got a clue then about the music business. I met him in Atlanta, Georgia. I literally bumped into him, and he asked me for like a ride home, and like I was flipping, you know. So I took him home, and the only thing I remember about the whole conversation was he wasn't sure if he had enough money to pay for his hotel. I was a kid, you know. I'm thinking like, this is Bill Evans. How can he not have enough money to pay his hotel bill? So anyhow, that should have been a clue with the music business. But I loved Bill Evans. There's so many different kind of influences. And I listened to piano players like not so well known, like Roland Hanna, Bobby Timmons, Hank Jones, all those kind of people. Thelonious Monk, of course. A lot of different.
Well, what about the organists?
Jimmy Smith, Richard Groove Holmes. Screaming Jack McDuff, and I remember him. Organ. A lot of people did. I wasn't in love with organ like piano, but I played it, and it's a whole different thing. I played organ like a piano player, not like an organ player. There's a difference. I can't explain it, but there's a difference.
Well, it seems that an organ player is really not going to play a lot with his left hand and maybe just solo with his right.
The touch, the whole thing, it's just a different animal. But I love it more now, I think, than I ever did the organ.
Here's the deal. You're on a mission from God. You're putting the band back together.
Yeah.
You can get anybody. You got special resurrection powers. You can bring anybody back from the dead. We're going to play the garden. You can do three sets. You can have different people each set. Name some players, drummers, guitar players, horn players, who you'd want with you.
Depending upon what I was doing.
You could do something different every set.
You know, certainly Wes Montgomery as a guitar player. I mean, that would be a dream.
Okay, Wes, pack your bags.
I don't care. Jimi Hendrix was my favorite. Maybe my favorite musician of all time. I'm not sure. But as a guitar player, as an original player, some people say he wasn't like a traditional, but I don't care. To me, the guy was like, he used to play around here.
Really?
Yes, I remember he played there was a place called the 1220 down in Hartsdale. It was right on the four corners of Hartsdale.
Yeah.
Then there was another place up on the Connecticut line up past Armonk. It's called the Country Inn. I can't think of the town. I know he played up there.
So this was like the mid-60s?
I remember seeing him down in the, what's that big, where all the big bands played, down in New Rochelle. Anyhow, he was playing with the Isley Brothers there. So he is definitely, I just wish I never met him. I wish I would have or could have. Janis Joplin, I loved her.
So she could sing?
Not only, for some reason I just loved her. You know, besides her singing, her too. I wish I could have
hooked up, huh?
Huh? Yeah.
Okay.
So I mentioned before, if I could have a band like play at my wedding, if that ever would happen, Tower of Power would be great.
So that would probably now, if we could just fit you in Tower of Power.
Oh, man.
Because they're on the road now. I mean, they go through Toad's place like once a year.
I saw them at BB's King's for the first time a couple of years back, and a friend of mine, she had to drag me down there because I don't know, for some reason I have a hard time going out. And I was flipping. I just,
They're good. Some of the original members are incarcerated.
Yeah,
sick.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, things happen.
But as long as you keep the quality of the replacements up.
Yeah, I thought they had a pretty good quality there.
Cool. So, well, who would play drums for you?
Oh, man.
Name a few.
Elvin Jones, I loved him. John Coltrane was another one I missed. A friend of mine wanted to drag me down see John Coltrane. Oh, no, I'll catch him the next one. Those were the days I thought everything went on forever. And
yeah.
But a drummer like that, you know. As far as rock drummers, I really don't know. I don't know who I would.
Well, I want to thank you so much for.
Oh, thank you, Roger. Thank you very much.
I enjoyed seeing the other night our friend John Apicelli, the photographer, hooked us up. Shout out to John. Good. See you soon.
Thank you, Roger.